All right. So I love you so much, Lord. We bless this time this morning. Pray that our eyes and ears will be open. We pray for those that will be listening on this broadcast that you will be free to touch their hearts and change them. Thank you for your power, the power of your word. Well, good morning. I'm so glad that you're here. Thank you for joining us today. Those of you on podcast, on YouTube, Facebook. I've had to practice not saying the book of face on Facebook. And we love you. We're so thankful that you're here. This is a great day of victory. It's a great day of celebration. We have a lot to rejoice in. I've got more sermon than you may have space on your recording device. So we're going to get kick off right now, and so you join with us. We got a lot of word to cover, and because it's the power of the word, it's the life-changing, transforming word of God. So that's what we're all about, and we want you to see him today. Well, Lord, we bless the ones listening, and we just speak in the name of Jesus that we thank you for that your spirit is able to take this word and make it true to our hearts. Make it clear to our hearts. And we thank you. I speak in Jesus' name that eyes are opening today, ears are opening today, hearts are being received or receiving today this precious seed of the Word of God. And all the saints said, amen. All right, let's give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. And I want to give you some great news. You don't hear a lot of great news, especially from the media during this time. So I want to really emphasize great news. And great news is Jesus is the same yesterday. He's touched your life in yesterday's. Whatever he's done in yesterday's, he can do again. He will most likely do it a little differently because we can't put him in a box. And he's more about you than he is methods. So he's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He's for you today. You know, he's the God of today. Today is the day that he wants to manifest his salvation to your life. Now that's great news. He's the same yesterday, today, and guess what? He's already in your tomorrow. I know that kind of blows our minds about tomorrow, but he's not limited by time. Okay? He's in a completely different place. He's not limited by time. That's why that he says to you, really in past tense form, I have provided for you. By my stripes you were healed. All right? I am in you and with you and all about you. And he's made promises to us that are true, just as true yesterday, today, and will be tomorrow. Are we glad that God doesn't get tired or he doesn't retire? And he's got you in mind. The Bible says his weights are heavy towards you. Now, I don't know how much a thought weighs. But if the thoughts towards you, God's thoughts toward you are heavy and they're weighty, the Bible says, towards you, that means he's got you in mind. Is that great? Aren't you glad the God that loves you so much and has promised to bless you and make a way for you of success, to prosper, a way of victory, he paid the price for you, that he thinks of you a lot? That is great news. So it's important for us because Jesus is our rock. I know that different winds come, different storms come in life. I'm looking at a people and talking to a people that's been through a lot of storms. And you know what? There will be a lot of storms until Jesus comes. That's what the Bible says. So don't let that be a shock to you. But we're to be anchored on the rock through every season. And let me say that the easiest way to be anchored on the rock through a stormy season is to be anchored on him before the stormy season starts. See, this is a lifestyle for a believer, is to anchor your feet on the solid rock, on Jesus himself. I hear, and I'm just relating to you because I talk to people, I minister to pastors, and I'm just relating to you. Part of the reason I'm dealing with this sermon today is that I hear terminology from believers that go something like this. We're just going to suffer through this. Another wording. We're just going to survive through this. And then, all right, when everything gets back to normal, Well, my response to that is, what is normal? Because I really believe, whether you do or not, that we're in the last days. And Jesus made it clear to us that in the last days, that all kind of storms were going to come. As a matter of fact, there would be so much fear that men's hearts would stop because of fear. And so we're in a day. And what most people mean by when everything gets to normal, they're talking about, well, I'll be glad when there's an absence of this present trouble so I can get back to my normal, subnormal living. I got a lot of amens on that one. I can hear them through the phones. So do you actually, since we're in the last days, and I believe we're in the last days, do you actually think that this is the only wave of trouble that's going to hit us before Jesus comes? Do you think that this is the last trouble that will come on this earth before Jesus comes? You see, you can see this strategy-wise. The enemy has caused much more damage by fear than a virus. You think this is the enemy's only attack of fear up his sleeve or in his bag of weapons? You think this is his last big hurrah? No. I think he's got more in mind. All right, you think this is the last danger he can present? Do you think this is the last threat that he can make? Psalm 46:1. Here's good news. In spite of anything and everything the enemy can throw at us, here is the truth. Here's God's good news. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge. Now, when the Bible talks about God is our refuge, he is our safe place. He is our hiding place. He is our protective place. He's our refuge, and he's our strength. Now, when it's talking about he is our strength, it's his strength in us. And so it's not outside way up there in heaven. No, it's right here and it's personal. He is our personal hiding place and he's your personal strength. He is your strength to win the battle of the mind. This is what we're talking about so far in this series. I got a lot more to cover in this series about our badge of authority, the authority we have in Christ. But right now we're talking about the battle of the mind. Because if you don't win the battle here, you can't win the battle anywhere else. It starts here. This is the battlefield, the battle of the mind. And so he is our strength to win the battle of the mind. You say, well, Brother Tim, that looks like a little stretch on the scripture. It's really not. Because when you look at the Amplified, you look at the original wording, it's talking about that his strength is an impenetrable to temptation. Where does temptation show up? Right here in the mind. That's where, we'll see later, the New Testament talks about these are where strongholds are, right here in the mind. It's between your eras. And we got to win that battle first. If you don't win that battle first, well, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But here it goes. The New Testament shows us how that his strength shows up to even be strong for us, even during thoughts or mindsets or temptation, because the Bible says that we have a helmet of salvation. And so when you recognize your forgiveness and recognize who you are in Christ, and you're the righteousness of God in Christ, and you're totally and completely forgiven, it is a helmet that protects you. You see that? From attacks of the enemy. Doesn't mean that they can't come, but I want to tell you, he is your strength. He's your strength to resist. He's your strength to not just survive, but to thrive. And so the Bible says here in Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, and that he is a very present and well-proved help in trouble. Now, when he's a very present help, it speaks to me about peace. Because the immediate need, when we're in trouble, the mind comes to attack, and the fear comes to attack, and we're intimidated. We're overwhelmed by the size. We're overwhelmed by just intimidated. But all could go wrong, the worst case scenarios. And the first response that the Lord wants to minister to us strength-wise is his peace. A very present peace. Because he gives us a peace that the world doesn't give. He gives us a peace that can cause us to rest and to be calm in the midst of a storm. And remember that Psalm 23 points out that he doesn't just bring us to the valley of death. He brings us through the valley of death. Isn't that great news? And so he's our very present peace and well-proved rescue. He's our well-proved help in trouble. He's our well-proved rescue. And when he's our help in trouble, he doesn't help us to defeat, does he? According to the New Testament, our Jesus Christ, our champion, always leads us into triumph. And so he brings us a well-proved help in time of trouble, means that he's our victory. Right here in the midst of it, before the banners are waving, he's our victory. And so he's our victory before, during, and after. Do you see that? I love that he's our victory. Verse 2 says this. Well, let's just see an example about how far that this refuge, that God our refuge and God our strength to win the battle of the mind. Let's just see how far that peace and rescue goes. Well, here we go. Everybody say the term world changer. Now, I'm using this term because I believe this is a Bible term in here, but also because I hear people say that this present virus is a world changer. The world will never be the same. I don't know how many times you've heard that. I don't listen to it, and I've heard it. Look at this, verse 2. Let's talk. This is a world changer. Verse 2 is a world changer. Therefore, we will not fear. I want to tell you, this is choosing life or death. Faith is life, fear is death. I'm going to announce to you, I don't care how mature you are in the Lord, what kind of ministry you have, what kind of successes you've had, where you are at your place in life, fear will make a coward of you. Faith will make a champion of you. That's all the Bible stories add up to that. Faith makes you a champion in Christ. Fear makes a coward of you. Look at this. We will not fear even if a world change does take place. Now, I'm not saying that this virus hasn't impacted the world, but it's not a world changer. There's been much more in our history that we could point to that's been world changers. And I want to say, look at this description. Though the earth should change, and though, see, that's where I get world changer. Though the earth should change, and though the mountains be shaken into the midst of the seas. Now, I want to tell you, we're not to fear even if that happens. Well, what is that describing? You know what? When the mountains go into the seas, it's talking about volcanoes erupting. And a volcano, a number of volcanoes, but even one, can be a world changer. But I want to tell you, even though the mountains become volcanoes and they melt into the sea, we will not fear. Do you see our position? Why do we have that position if a world change event takes place? Because God is still our refuge and strength, and he's still a very present, peaceful present, and a well-proved rescue in time of trouble. He doesn't change, even if the world changes. Do you see it? Do you believe it? Look at verse 3. We'll see another example of world changing. Though its waters roar and foam, and though the mountains tremble at its swelling and its disturbance. Look, you know what this is describing? Tsunamis. Tsunamis. I mean, when the waters roar and foam to the place that the mountains, that all the way to the mountains, they tremble and shake. Because of the swelling of the waters. We're talking about a tsunami. And so even though volcanoes take place and go into the sea, even though a tsunami may take place and shake the very mountains on this earth, we are not to fear. We don't have to fear. We can fear, but we don't have to fear. Do you see that? So look at verse 4. Now here is a life changer. We've been talking about a world changer. Even though the world, events may come to change the world, they don't have to change us because the Lord is the same. Verse 1, Psalm 46, 1, he's always the same. He never changes. And because he never changes, I want to tell you, we can be changed from the inside out. That's the way the Lord loves to change us first. We always want to pray, Lord, change this circumstance, change this event. I want to tell you, and we hope we get this far today, but the thing the Lord wants to change first is the inside of you. He changes the inside. I want to tell you what prayer changes. Prayer changes us. And so here we go. Look at verse 4. This is the power, the refuge, the shield of the Lord that will change our life. There is a river. The river describes him. It's a description of the Holy Spirit in us, the very presence of Jesus in us. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. Now, in our terminology, when it's describing the city of God, we can call it the church. And so there is a living stream, Holy Spirit, that's so wide and so powerful and so life-transforming that this very stream, this river whose streams will make glad the people of God, will make glad the church of God. Now, I want to tell you what I saw when I was meditating on this. And so I saw the world screaming out of fear because of world-changing events. And I saw the church, they weren't screaming out of fear. They were shouting out of peace. They were shouting out of the protective refuge of the Lord. And they were shouting and rejoicing because the church shouts while the world screams. That's what I was wanting to say. Oh, that's good for me. How good is it? Makes me want to shout a little bit. Because in the very presence of the world screaming, the church can be shouting when they're receiving the living stream of the Spirit of God. Life-bringing water. Living water. And look what it says in verse 4. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Now, let me announce to you that you are a living tabernacle. You're a living, mobile worship center. And so I'm telling you, wherever you go, the river of life goes with you. Because the river of life is in you. And the river of life, the effect that the river of life has on those who are receiving is joy. He makes us glad. He causes us to rejoice. And so everywhere you go, there's a living worship center going that the very presence and life flow of Jesus goes with you. Is that great news? And so life-transforming river of life in us makes us rejoice while the world is screaming because of changes. And we can go into the world and we can minister life-transforming power. I love that. God is in the midst of her. It's talking about the church. It's talking about the bride. The groom's talking about his bride. He's saying, Jesus is saying about the church, I'm in the midst of you. And he is, according to the New Testament. Because the New Testament says he's in us. Now look, if you really believe that, you're never alone. You understand? I know we can experience that sensation of loneliness. I know we can experience every emotion that humans that don't know Christ experience. We can experience those too. But the difference is that we're not a normal human. We've been transformed. We've received new life. We've received the very life of Jesus in us, and we don't have to stay there. You may experience it, but you don't have to live there. As soon as you recognize it, you can go back and receive the living water, the stream of living water, and you can recognize and understand that he is in the middle of you. Hey, the Bible says, where even there are two or three are gathered, he said, I'm in the middle of you. So he's in the very midst. And look, the church shall not be moved. Now I want to tell you, when the volcanoes are happening, there's a lot of earth being moved. When the tsunamis are happening, there's a lot of earth being moved. But I want to tell you what the living stream of the Holy Spirit does in you and for you, you shall not be moved. You see that? Okay. We don't have to fear. You shall not be moved. God will help her. Speaking of you, God will help you right early. He's our refuge. He will help you right early. Now I want to tell you, there's a lot of people waiting on a lot of things during this season. If you go to the doctor, you're probably going to wait. If you try to get an appointment, you're probably going to wait a long time. But I want to tell you what happens when you have a need. You're first in line. Well, Brother Tim, nobody knows. No, no, the Lord knows you. You're His. And I want to tell you, He's got you in mind. His thoughts toward you are weighty. And He has you first in line. And I want to tell you, you say, well, I messed up so bad yesterday. Let me tell you something. You didn't use up the mercy of God. You may have used a lot of mercy yesterday. Need a lot of mercy from yesterday. But let me tell you what He says. His mercy is fresh, full, and overflowing for you today. Why? Because of Jesus. And that's just how much that He loves you. And so he will help her right early at the dawn of the morning. First thing, fresh mercy. Somebody say amen. And so what I'm saying to you is that through every season, He is our present right now, more than enough help. And so our part is not to look down at the world, but to look up to Jesus. Put your focus on Jesus. Look up to Jesus. The darker the season, and I want to tell you, it may be dark. People talking about how dark it is. I want to announce to you, you know, it can get darker. But this is the good news that I'm showing you right here out of the Word of God. The darker it gets, the brighter His glory is upon you. The dawn of the morning shines on you. He is the morning star to you. And so get ready. It may get darker, but if it gets darker, the brighter His glory is upon you. Are you receiving that river of life? Are you swimming in the river of life? Get ready, because the Lord's coming soon, and all the saints said. So the world gets darker and darker. I'm not surprised, because Jesus said it would get dark. I'm not surprised and shocked by the unbelievers' response. They don't know the light. We do. They don't have the river of living water. We do. And so it's time for believers to not be poured into the same mold as the world. We don't have to think like they think. We don't have to talk like they talk. We don't have to be ruled by the emotions of fear like they are. All right? We have Him. He's our refuge. He's our strength. And so they don't know the light. We do. It's time for believers not to be conformed to the image of the world, but to be transformed. Okay? Be transformed into His image. Not the world's image, His image. So the world is fear, negative, dark view. We're the light of the world, and His glory is upon you. And so the answer to that is to put our eyes on Jesus. I know when I say that, people say, oh, that's one of them preacher terms. That's just too simple. No, it's so true. This is what makes the difference. Colossians 3:2 says that we're to keep our mind on things above. Not on things below, things above. And set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things. Not on the things that are on the earth. Is anyone listening? And so I'm announcing to you in this series that you have the authority. Jesus paid the price on the cross. His resurrection from the dead is our badge of authority, our living proof. That, you know what? We have the authority to win the battle of the mind. Acts 1:8 says this. Be a witness. Now, I know that this has been used in ways that will come out like this. Just if you know what, if you can give a track away every day, God bless. You know, tracks are good. I'm on the track team too. I believe in tracks. If you can say God bless you to somebody, well, you've done a great. You know what? I'm telling you, cheerful greetings are good. We're going to cover that. They're powerful. The Lord can use them. But it's speaking of more than that. It's not just saying do a witness. It's saying be a witness. You know, there's a difference between doing a witness and being a witness. All right, here it goes. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, he was speaking of a specific time and date and event, and it has happened. And I want to announce to you that there are overwhelmings, what I like to call them. There are overwhelmings of the Holy Spirit that come on our life in our journey that are very precious, very powerful, very intimate. I love you times in the Lord, and where He just overwhelms us. And I want to tell you, those are precious times. Those are great times. Don't be satisfied with just one in your life. I mean, those are good to seek and to enjoy of the Lord, just to enjoy the Lord and the overwhelming that He brings us, the filling, overwhelming, overfilling of the Holy Spirit in our life. We need that. But I want to tell you something. Since this verse, he has come and he does dwell in us. He said, I'm sending another just like me. It's the Holy Spirit. And when you receive Christ, according to the Bible, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, in your spirit, and dwells inside of you. And so the Holy Spirit, in full measure, I like to say it's not a baby Jesus, it's full-grown Jesus inside of you. You don't have just a little bit of him. You have the whole, the Bible says, the Godhead, fullness of the Godhead dwells in you. And so he dwells inside of you. And when he's inside of you, you shall be my witnesses wherever you go, even to the ends of the earth. And so the Bible emphasizes, be a witness wherever you go, wherever you are, be a witness. Now that's life. That's transfer of life. That's taking what God's done for you and shining your light, sharing your life with others. All right? That's not just doing something on Sunday or once on Monday. That's living it. Big difference between doing a witness and being a witness. Philippians 4:6 says this. Do not fret or have anxiety about anything. Now, this, even though the power, the Holy Spirit himself is in you, and the power of God is in you to be a witness, this can shut down the power. I hate to say it, but it's true. You know, a single no can shut down the power of heaven in your life. I don't like that, but it's true. And I want to tell you, if you choose fear or anxiety about anything, it shuts down the power of heaven in your life. I want to tell you, that's serious, isn't it? Well, that's why I'm preaching it. But don't have fret or have anxiety or fear. You know, fear is unbelief. You already got faith, but that tug of war with unbelief will weaken you. But in every circumstance, does that mean every season? I believe it does too. In every circumstance, in everything, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. So it's actually talking about some weapons of our warfare. You know, prayer, and we're going to get to this in the future, is a powerful weapon of our warfare. The Word of God is a powerful weapon of our warfare. Thanksgiving and praise is a powerful weapon of our warfare. And so I know that there is some suffering during this season. I'm not belittling that. But what I'm saying is this, is that most folk that think they're suffering don't know the Bible definition of suffering. Yeah, I kind of wanted that to sink in a little bit. If you were asked them to describe, how's your suffering? Well, I don't have the brand of toilet paper that I prefer. I'm not able to go to my favorite restaurant and sit down. Well, okay, let me announce something to you. That's not Bible definition of suffering. You know what that is? Most people that I hear, I'm not saying there's not any suffering during this time. There is. We've got some people suffering in our church from death, from sickness. We've got people in the hospital. You know, there's some suffering that happens. But I want to tell you something. Most people in this season that are talking about suffering are talking about inconvenience. Now, believing believers, there's a difference between a believing believer and a believer that's not believing. There's a difference between a convert and a disciple. Believing believers use the victory of the finished works. They focus on his promises and not the problems. They take the authority that Jesus paid for and passed on to us, and they use what Jesus has provided to win the battle of the mind. And to be a rescue ranger for someone else. You're not able to fulfill your purpose and go be a rescue ranger to other people that are hurting and suffering if you don't win the battle of the mind. If you don't win the battle of the mind, every time you start to do something for God, the enemy will be able to beat you up and convince you that you're not qualified, it's wrong timing, and you're not ready. That's so true. His promises are real. We're to take authority and use what Jesus has provided to win the battle of the mind and to be that rescue ranger. So we're to take our badge of authority and go resist the virus. I want to just announce this. The virus is not stronger than Jesus. You have authority over the virus. You have authority over every sickness and disease. You have authority over every movement of darkness against you because Jesus won the victory. And we stand in His victory. We're battling from His victory, not to victory. Do you see the difference in that? And so take the badge of authority. Go resist darkness wherever form you see it. Any disturbance of the heart and mind, we're to take authority over that and use our authority to submit to God, resist the enemy, and the enemy flees. That's what the Bible says. So you must win. Here's some things you must win. You got to win the battle of your mind, your thought life. You've got to win in your thought life. Now, I'm not talking about a perfection. I've had dreams that were not pleasant. Okay, but I want to tell you something. I've had thought patterns that were not pleasant. Sometimes the enemy sneaks up on me. You know how he likes to do. He's a deceiver. He's a sneaky one. But I want to tell you, I had a day not too long ago, or a night not too long ago, where in the middle of the night, I began to get these slideshow of every failure I've ever had in my life. I mean, it was a slideshow. I mean, it was just popping in like this. Oh, 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 oh. Now, I want to tell you, that wasn't from God. That doesn't promote peace. That doesn't promote joy. That promotes disturbance and stolen sleep. Anybody know what I'm saying? All right, but it took me a while to recognize this is not from God. Hey, this is from the thief. The thief is the one that's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And so it took me a while to recognize and then to submit to God and resist and have the enemy flee. Because whatever the enemy does in that kind of form is illegal because he's been defeated. So we got to win the battle of the mind, our thought life. You got to win your emotions. And a lot of people think that, well, emotions are just in charge. I can't help the way I feel. Yes, you can. All right? You're in charge of your emotions. Now, they may be bullying you around. They may be pushing your buttons and telling you they're in charge. But when you see that you have authority in Christ, your emotions don't have to rule you. They're to be the caboose and not the engine. They've got to be told where to go and how to get there in the name of Jesus. And so, but if you don't win the battle of your mind, you won't win the battle of your emotions. Your emotions are a result of what you've been thinking. Your words. It's amazing. You know, the Bible says the tongue, I mean, life and death come out of the tongue. It can speak life and death. And I want to tell you, there are believers who believe well, but then all of a sudden they start cursing themselves and what God wants and what God's doing, because out of their same tongue that they praise God with, they speak curses and death on everything else. Well, there's victory over that. But it starts with the mind. If you don't win the battle of the mind, you're not going to win the battle of your speech. How about actions? I want to tell you, this is where people love to start. Well, I'm just going to stop this. This action's bad. I'm going to stop this action. And so they battle and they fight and they wear themselves out to the place of exhaustion. And they just go through emotional burnout, and they even blow a fuse emotionally trying to battle this action, stop this action. But I want to tell you, you don't stop the action till you start winning the battle of the mind. Thoughts promote emotions. Emotions promote words, and words promote actions. It works down that way, but you got to start back with the mind, and all the saints said. All right, Proverbs 12:25. You're probably ready for good news. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down. Isn't that true? Well, we're seeing a lot of hearts weighed down. But an encouraging word, a word of exhortation, a word that speaks life is like apples of gold. It's an encouraging word makes it glad. I want to tell you, a life word, a word of love, a word of life, a word of wisdom brings life to him. Look at Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently. Now, when you wait patiently, you're not just being a bump on a stump. When you're waiting patiently, you're seeking the Lord in this process. You're not just saying, oh, well, whatever the Lord wants to do, he'll do. Whatever God wants to do, it don't matter. He'll work it all out. No, no. Waiting is seeking the Lord. And so there had to have been a season here because they waited patiently. I don't know if it was minutes, hours, days, months, or years. But whatever the time period is, whatever the season is, our part is to seek the Lord during the season. To believe. Come to the place of rest where we're believing. And understand that it's not over till I win. No matter how long it takes, it's not over till I win. Somebody say amen. And they waited expectantly. This means that faith is in the middle of the process. They waited believing for the victory. Believing God's promises. Believing God's word. Expectantly for the Lord. And he inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up out of the horrible pit. A pit of disturbance and destruction. Out of the miry clay. And set my feet upon a rock. Here we go. We're back to it, aren't we? Jesus is our rock. And he steadies my step. In other words, you're not going back to and fro, being tossed to and fro by every wind and wave. He steadies my step, and he establishes my going. And he put a new song in my mouth. This is a song of victory. This is a victory testimony. What is your victory, current victory testimony? Everybody ought to have a current victory testimony ready to speak the works of the Lord when the Lord opens the door for that. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. I want to tell you, that's where you start. You start by praising God for his victory. And many, as a result of you speaking forth the works of God, the victory of God, the praise of God, hey, many will see and fear. In other words, they will come to want the Lord. Many will be drawn and put their trust and their confident reliance in the Lord. This is God's way of promotion. It's for us to be, I said it the other day, to be a big mouth for Jesus. And to brag on Jesus. And to talk about Jesus. I got to share with a little girl at Whataburger that was taking the order outside. And I got to share with her about what all Jesus was doing. And you know what she said? She was not a believer. She said, hey, I'm glad you told me that. I need to check this Jesus out, don't I? I said, yes, you really do. It's a life changer. Hey, would you rather worry or would you rather be in faith? Worry is negative meditation on wrong things. Worry is worshiping the problem. Boy, I like that, don't you? Hey, you know what that leads to depression. And so when I'm talking to a pastor or a believer on the phone or in person and they're telling me they're depressed, you know what my first question is? What have you been thinking? What's your thought pattern? See, believers, listen. You have authority over your thought life. You have authority over emotions. You have authority over your words. You have authority over your actions. But it's got to start with the mind. Submit to God, resist the enemy, and put darkness on the run. Now, 1 Peter 5, 7 says this, cast your whole of your care, cast all of your anxieties, put them all on the Lord, all of your worries, all your concerns. And there's such an emphasis in the wording that it says, like, once and for all. And I'm so glad that emphasis is there because we have a tendency to lay it down at the feet of Jesus and then just a second later say, I'll take this, Lord, on my way out because I got to deal with this. It's like one man, one elderly gentleman told me one time, and I was talking to him about don't worry, and he said, well, somebody's got to. Well, you don't. And I even told someone recently, you know, it's none of your business. It's none of you, as they say where I'm from. That falls under the head of the Lord's business. That's your shepherd's business. That's not your business. Okay, don't go there. Don't do that. Cast all of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns once and for all on him. For he cares for you affectionately, and he cares about you watchfully. Cast your cares upon the Lord, and let him love on you. That's a powerful combination. That cures worry. And you know what? It's easy to do. Now, Ephesians 3:20 says this. Now, to him... It's talking about the Lord, who by, in the consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us. Now, a lot of people skip this part of the verse, and they go, you know, Christians, we're famous for this. Just quoting the part of the verse that just, you know, that we can hoorah about. And so a lot of Christians will quote, quote this verse, and I love this verse, but it says that he is able to do super abundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think. Now, boy, that's one of them hoorahs that believers love to quote, but they miss the first part, because the first part speaks of letting Jesus work within us. And the power that comes from him working within us will allow his power to flow through us to do a superly, abundantly, far and above all that we dare ask or think. So we have a part in this verse. And the part in this verse that includes us is allowing him that by his power to work within us. What is that working within us? Well, I'm just going to announce to you, and I'll have to cover some of this next week, but I'm just going to announce to you that it's the work of his love in us. You say, well, Brother Tim, give me something more powerful. Give me something more spiritual. Give me some, you know, Christians want something we can do. This is letting him do. When we let him do, then he can do great things through us. We want to do great things for him. But you know what he wants? He wants you to let him work in you. Is that too simple? Do I need to go to children's church? How much can we be trusted with? Because I want to tell you, he wants to trust us with his power. We're just seeing glimpses of it. We're just seeing a skimming of the surface of the treasury of the glory of God. There's a whole lot more for us to walk in, but can he trust us with it? You see, I'm going to just say this. Real persecution and suffering has a place in the Christian life. You say, well, boy, that sounds negative. Well, I want to just tell you something. You know, when you're enjoying Jesus through it, I want to tell you, he has a way of refining us. He has a way of defining our purpose. He has a way of helping us keep the main thing the main thing. We have a tendency to run rabbit trails as believers. And when we keep the main thing, it's Jesus first, Jesus center, and we're loving others with the love of Jesus, and we're honoring him with our life. And matter of fact, we don't love our life even to death. And so I don't know why so many believers are scared. Well, I might get sick and die. Okay. If you want to come up to me and tell me I'm fixing to get sick and die here in the next few hours, I'll probably hug your neck. Because you know what? To a believer, that's good news. Dying is not a demotion. Death is a promotion to a greater level of life than we've ever had. It's good news. It's not bad news. Jesus took the sting of death away. And so we have nothing to fear as far as that is concerned. Well, I can tell I need to preach on that. And I probably will. I'm just going to tell you this quick story. You know, when you take a stand for the Lord and you speak the word and you speak the words of life, not everybody's going to clap for you. Not everybody's going to smile. And not everybody's going to say amen. Some people want to throw stones at you because they don't want you sharing where they're not. You got that? There's other reasons, but they're not good. But one of the stones that was thrown at me in public years ago went like this. You'll never be accomplished as a pastor or a preacher because you can't ever get off first base. I said, okay, thank you for sharing. Now, I rush to say that because I've learned that when someone criticizes you and you just tell them thank you for sharing, that sometimes that's enough to shut them up. Okay, you've accomplished something. If you try to argue, then you're just eating the cheese. All right? So I quickly said, well, thank you for sharing. I appreciate that. And he said, no, I want to tell you some more. And he said, these other guys agree with me. I said, okay. All you talk about is the love of God, fellowship with God, and love of God. And, you know, that's just first base. All you are is a first base coach. And you'll never be an accomplished pastor or preacher because that's all you can preach. There's a whole lot more to the Bible than first base. And you need to grow on from that. Okay. Thank you for sharing. So let's look at Ephesians. Ephesians 3, right quick. And I'm going to go fast because they're telling me I'm close to your time limit. Those of you that want a longer time limit, just call them in. Okay. Ephesians 3, 14. For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan for which you were built together in Christ. That's such a beautiful statement. I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, this is the believer's mindset. Would you listen? If you will accept the believer's mindset, he can walk you into greater levels. And the first part of this in verse 14 is talking about, hey, the latter part says, I bow my knees before the Father. You know what it is? It's submit to God. Hey, you want to walk in victory? You want to walk in freedom? You want to walk in authority and the power that Jesus won for you? Then I want to tell you, it's very important that you walk in humility before God and man. So walking in humility. You cannot get there without walking in humility. Verse 15, for whomever family in heaven on earth is named, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. Hey, you know what? It's important for you to keep in mind this is not your own thing. You don't have your own thing going. It's not your own ministry or your own life. It's not your life. If you've given your life to Christ, it's not your life. We're to recognize that He is our Father and we are His. He's our shepherd and we're the sheep of His shepherd. That's where you are. You want to brag about something? You brag about the Father and the privilege of being a sheep in under His shepherding. A sheep in His pasture. Verse 16. Now see, that's basic, isn't it? May He grant you out of the rich treasury of His glory. Boy, that need to be on the wall somewhere. There's a rich treasury of His glory that we've yet to dig into very deep. Out of the rich treasury of His glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit Himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. Wow, wow, and wow. So there's a rich treasury of strength and power inside of you. Now that's what Bible says. That's what God says. And if God says it, it's true. You say, well, I don't see it, but it's true. You say, well, I'm not experiencing, but it's true. Verse 17, may Christ through your faith. So this is how we tap into it. This is how we walk with the Lord. It's through faith. We got to use faith. It doesn't happen with fear. It's to happen with faith. May Christ through faith actually dwell, settle down, abide, make His permanent home in your hearts. May you be deep, rooted deep in His love and founded securely on His love. If you just want to call that first base, that's all right with me because that's important to God. And by faith, we experience this intimacy with Him, this recognition of Him, this consciousness of His presence, and deeper love life. This is where He wants us to go. Well, Brother Tim, I prayed to receive Christ. I'm good to go. Well, you really are. But there's a whole lot more for you than that. And it's the adventure of getting to know the depths of His love. He's got deeper love for you that will set you free from the junk that binds you. Set you free from the strongholds in the mind. Wow. And it goes back to receiving and experiencing His love. Verse 18 says that you may have the power, wow, I'm going to say this, that you may have the power to see and receive more love. Now, you see the priority with God? No, Lord, we're talking about great events. We're talking about great happenings. We want to do great miracles, and we want to do this, and we want to do this in big-time ways. I want to tell you what's a priority with God is that you receive the power of the Holy Spirit in your life to see and receive more love, to be strong, to apprehend and grasp with all the saints. It's not just for you, it's for everybody. God's devoted people, the experience of that love, just not to know about it in the mind, but to experience it. What is the breadth, the length, and the height, and the depth of His love? So, from love, first base, to second base, the power. That you may really come to know. This is verse 19. that you may really, really, personally come to know, practically, by experiencing it for yourselves. You say, well, Brother Don talks about the love of God. No, okay, that's Brother Don. What about you talking about the love of God? You see, when you experience it, it's easy to be a witness. It's hard to be a witness to something you didn't experience. Oh, man, that's big. But I'm telling you, that's for you. This will set you free. His love chases fear out the door. And I'm telling you, he's got a whole lot more love for us. And it's here. To know practically and experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge. It's not enough for you to read about it and say amen to it. You got to experience it. And the Holy Spirit will help you do that. That you may be filled through all of your being into the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body, a human being, wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's God's heart for you. For you to experience His personal love to a measure where it's overwhelming. Now, to Him, verse 20. This is where we were at. By the consequence of the power that is at work within us. So what is the work within us? It's bringing us to deeper love life with Him. If you're not allowing the Lord to work in you and bring you to a deeper love life in Him, then you're not experiencing the second part of this verse. Amen, Brother Tim. Good preaching, Brother Tim. That is Bible, Brother Tim. What I'm telling you is, we want the second part of that verse. Yeah, I want to see His power super abundantly, far above and beyond all that we dare ask. Well, okay, you practice receiving the overwhelming of His love life and get to know Him intimately in His love life to deeper levels than ever before. And this will be an automatic byproduct. I want to tell you, this is my life right here. They're right. I'm parked at first base because a lot of the body of Christ hadn't got there yet. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. Now glory, that bright glory that's in us, that comes from this, they'll see Jesus. All right? Look, they may not ever know your name. You may not ever be popular here or promoted here. That's not our purpose. What is our purpose is to promote Jesus. And I want to tell you, through you knowing the love of God and experiencing the power of God, they will see Jesus. And the glory of Jesus will be on you, on the church. I want to tell you, that's big. That's what God has for us. And I want to preach a whole lot more. And I'm not going to. That's why you need to tune in next week. Because next week we're going to get into a lot of fun. I've kind of set the stage today. Matter of fact, my beautiful blonde would tell you this was my introduction. You can't see her, but she's shaking her head, and they know it's the truth. She told me this morning, you got 9 pages of introduction. I said, I can't help it. We got to get this before we go on to that. So if y'all all say you get it, then we'll move on. If not, I'm going to use different terminologies, and like she told me this morning, we'll be here for a long time. But I'm not as concerned about a series as I am you getting it. And you can't get it if you don't have Him. And so if you've never received Christ, this is your opportunity to get in on the goodness of God. Because it starts by receiving Him as your personal Savior. There's not an excuse that's worthy of resisting Him. He paid for you. He loves you. He has good plans for you. The promises in the Bible are for believers. For believers. And it's absolutely so exciting and amazing. But I want to tell you, the promise that's for the unbeliever is this one. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
We're giving you that opportunity right now. Would you pray with us? If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you've never given your life to Christ, this is a prime opportunity for the Lord knocking on the door of your heart for you to open your heart and let Jesus come in. And once he comes in, he'll never leave. You're going to mess up, but he won't mess up by leaving you. He's promised that you're his. Forgiven. Isn't that great news? There's nothing you've done that he hasn't already forgiven you for. He wants you to receive it. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. Lord, I repent of my wrongdoings, and I receive you as my personal Savior. Thank you that 2,000 years ago you paid the price and that I am forgiven. Past, present, future, you have forgiven me. Thank you for forgiveness. I receive you. I receive your forgiveness. I give my life to you. You're my King and you're my Lord. And I receive your gift of everlasting life. And Lord, I want to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.